We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast. Always try to get the really good interviews, and Charles Barkley is always a good interview. And I know talking about a lot of things, all the sports. But without further ado, let Charles be Charles, and here he is, Charles Barkley. Okay, this is the world, whatever that may be, of Charles Barkley, the world as Charles knows it. Hey, brother, it's always a pleasure to get your take on what we need to do in this fine country of ours, whether it's with basketball, football, whatever. All right, so let's start with... I'm going to start with LeBron James, because that always seems to be the topic of conversation. And now he switched teams again. He's building a team again. Do you think that's right, that he just builds his own teams?
Well, you know, I'm not a fan of super teams. You know, it, this whole thing started when he and his guys got together and went down to Miami, and they start poaching stars off other teams. And now... then he goes back to Cleveland and he brings in Kevin Love and Kyrie. And Kyrie had enough of it, and he wanted to move on. So the thing with the Lakers is interesting, because I don't think they're going to have a good team. I don't think they got a good team. But I think this is more about his future as far as the business world more than anything.
Yeah, but obviously his business world, while he's playing basketball, he can't run it. I saw that you made a comment that you believe that, yes, he'd be there for his business world, but also that, why would he go? Because, and if I'm misquoting you, it won't be the first time, why would he go if he's on the downside of his career?
Well, because all the stuff that he's doing now is in Hollywood. You see, he sold at least 3 or 4 shows. And he's going to be doing that for the rest of his life. I mean, he's got a perfect role model in Magic Johnson, who's probably a billionaire. You know, and he's going to be connected to everything in Hollywood. So I think that's why he went. It was a business decision.
You know, and you said he was on the downside of his career. Do you believe, and obviously your last years are not your best years, but do you think he's either one of the top 1 to 3 players in the NBA at this point?
Well, he's the best player or second best player, depending on Kevin Durant. But he's any guy who's his age is going to be starting on the downside of his career. You don't get better as you get older. And you have to look at it from another standpoint. This is 2 years before they're going to be competitive, depending on who they're able to get next summer. So anybody don't think he's on the backside of his career just don't know anything about basketball. Nobody gets better in their mid-30s.
So do you think Durant's a better player than he is right now?
I think it's arguably, yeah, I do. I think it's a fair assessment. Durant's great.
You know, when I judge LeBron James on who's the best and all-time, I want to get into that, I look at the players that in the last 2 minutes of a game can create their own shot, because you know they'll pack in the defense. And I always thought Kobe was great. Durant is terrific. And when you look at that, do you look at that with a player? What can you do for me in the last 2 minutes to create your own shot?
Well, LeBron is arguably, like I say, I got him ranked number 7 behind Kobe as far as just greatness. I mean, he's unbelievable. First of all, he's a wonderful man, too. I mean, the stuff he's doing with the schools and stuff is unbelievable. And I've said this before, what he's accomplished in the NBA is probably the greatest, not just NBA, I should say in sports. For an 18-year-old kid to come to the NBA, and let's get one thing straight, no matter how great Kobe was, Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett and those guys, they were not ready for the NBA when they came. People forget, all those guys struggled early in their career. But from day one, LeBron handled the expectations, played well, but the greatest thing, he lived up to all the hype. But in this 24/7 news cycle, this kid has never even came close to getting into trouble. I think that's one of the greatest accomplishments in sports history. For an 18-year-old kid to come to the NBA and to be great as a player, but never even came close to getting into trouble in this 24/7 news cycle, I think it's one of the most incredible things ever.
All right, so now you rank him 7th all time.
Yes.
Give me your top 7. Give me your top 6.
Michael, Oscar Robertson, Kareem, Wilt, Bill Russell, Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Bird and Magic.
So you don't even have Bird in the top 6?
No, he's not been any of those guys I mentioned. That's no disrespect. I didn't put him behind Charles Shackelford.
Yeah, but Bird could do everything. And everybody, oh, he's a slow white guy. Not a slow white guy.
Wait, you don't think, wait, what can those other guys not do that I mentioned?
Well, Michael, Oscar, Kareem. Yeah, I mean, I waver on Kareem. Wilt, for sure.
Why do you waver on Kareem?
Well, I know his shot was unstoppable. And
the guy's got the most points in NBA history. He won 3 championships in college and 5 or 6 in the NBA. The guy's won on every level.
So you wouldn't put a Bird ahead of Kobe?
No, Bird, as great as Larry was, Kobe, you know, first of all, it's all speculative. It's all just
right,
your
yeah.
opinion.
Yeah, right. It's your opinion. I get it.
But Bird's right there, man. I mean, listen, I put him in the top 10 of players that ever played a game. I didn't put him behind no slouches.
No, you didn't. All right, so the NBA now, I watched some of those old series, Sixers and Celtics, and the playoffs, Detroit, you know, with Mahorn and the Bad Boys. And the difference is, what is the difference between those teams and today's game?
Well, number one, all the stars play together because, you know, the NBA's got so much money now, they can afford to pay everybody. That's the first thing. Secondly, all these guys, they don't want to compete. And also, they've taken all the physicality out the game where you can't touch anybody. You know, guys are getting an extra 10 to 15 points a game on just free throws. So those are the biggest difference. Can you imagine Dr. J couldn't beat the Celtics and he went to the Celtics? Think about that. They lost to the Celtics all those years. Can you imagine Dr. J saying, hey, you know what, let me go play for the Celtics? You look at Michael Jordan. I mean, he got pummeled by the Pistons. First of all, he started out losing to the Celtics, and we caught them at the end of their heyday. But could you imagine him saying, hey, you know what, I can't beat the Bad Boy Pistons. I'm just going to go play in Detroit. That was never heard of during my generation. And I was going to say, you have to reward those guys for battling through those teams.
Well, the one thing that I notice is today, if you drive down the lane, you have a free path. Everybody gets to the basket because it seems like there's no defense. If you did that against a lot of teams, especially the Detroit Pistons, but certainly the Celtics, they'd knock, if LeBron came down the lane, they'd knock Michael Jordan on his ass. Wouldn't they just knock guys on their ass? Isn't that a big difference in what the game is today? Everybody, regular season, everybody gets a free ride.
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, because, you know, you go back and look at some of those Pistons teams, you know, we used to joke around when you had, when anytime you played the Pistons, you had to call your family and say goodbye because you might not never see them again. Those guys were trying to hurt you.
And why doesn't that happen today?
Well, because they unchanged the rules. There's no physicality. It's kind of the same thing in the NFL, Howard. They've changed the rules, and I'm not sure it's for the best. I mean, think about it. Like, every quarterback who's any good can just sling it all over the field because you can't touch wide receivers. You can't hit anybody anymore. That's actually a very fair equivalent. It's the NBA, the NFL has followed suit. Like, we don't want any physicality. And is it good for the game? That's debatable. But we changed our rules now.
All right, so what's wrong with the NBA game today?
Well, I think that everybody is trying to just live and die by threes because the Warriors got three of the greatest scorers who ever lived. Two guys are the greatest shooters who probably ever lived. And everybody's like, well, let's try to do it like them. It's only going to work for them. What are the chances, like, are you getting Klay, Steph, and Kevin Durant together? That's just, you know, Kevin Durant messed up the entire power structure of the NBA, or it would be competitive. Because Oklahoma City, actually, remember, they were up 3-1 on that team. Houston probably would have beat them if Kevin Durant wasn't there last year. But now it's just, can anybody beat the Warriors? And like I said, the biggest problem for me, to get back to your question, was, like, everybody now, but we all got to shoot threes. But we don't all have to shoot threes. The Warriors shoot threes because they got three of the greatest shooters who ever lived.
Yeah, but everybody tries to shoot threes because in the world of analytics, I'll shoot the three.
That's why the game is suffering. Because, Howard, think about this. Look at the numbers. The number one field goal shooter for the Minnesota Timberwolves is Karl Anthony Towns, a 7-1 center. Like, why? Now we got Anthony Davis, who's arguably right there with LeBron and KD as the best player in the world. He's out there shooting threes now. You got Boogie Cousin before he got hurt, who's a heck of a talent. He's out there shooting threes. Like I say, so why are you trying to do what the Warriors do? You don't have the Warriors personnel.
Well, but the coaches tell you that you got to shoot the three because that's the way you.
Well, that's because dopes like you started hiring all these analytical guys.
Not me.
Say that threes are better than twos. Well, first of all, threes are better than twos. If you got Klay, Steph, and Kevin Durant, but it doesn't work for the rest of the league. You know, Howard, it's kind of like, remember, like in the NFL, I hate you keep using these football analogies, but that's not fair. Remember when everybody tried the Wildcat?
Yep.
And it worked for like a year, maybe a year and a half, and then everybody adjusted to it, and it didn't work anymore. So I wonder what the NBA is going to get to the point where, like, maybe we should start actually posting up a big man. But they got Draymond Green, who's a good player down low. Let's make Kevin Durant play defense on the other end instead of us all just trying to outshoot these guys.
Yeah, well, that's what the NBA, it's taken away. There's no such thing as a mid-range jumper anymore, it seems like.
But it shows in the play, Howard. I mean, you can see, that's why we got such bad basketball in the NBA.
Is the NBA a broken product?
It's cracking because at some point, if we keep just building super teams, the fans are going to just say, why in the world am I wasting my time watching the NBA? You know, Howard, a couple of years ago we said, wow, this was the first time the same teams had played in the finals 3 years in a row. Now we just had them play 4 years in a row. At some point, the fans are going to say, hey, you know what? Why am I watching the NBA? They only got one or two, three good teams. Why am I paying outrageous prices? So I think at some point the fans are going to say, hey, listen, if all these guys want to play together and we're not going to be competitive, I think that's when it's going to be broken. You know, because everybody keeps saying, like, well, the super team is great. Yeah, but you're in Golden State, it's great. But if guys, let me give you an example. If in like 3 or 4 years, the guys who represent Ben Simmons who's the same group of the one who started Super Team, says, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to L.A. and play with LeBron at the end of his career. And then everybody in Philadelphia is going to be pissed. Something like that. The same thing with Giannis Antetokounmpo. If it, in a couple years and they're like, hey, listen, I'm not winning in Milwaukee. I'm going to go play, join a super team. At some point, the fans are going to say, no, 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 hell no. If all y'all just want to play together and we're not competitive, screw the NBA. That's what I think could happen in the next few years.
So what, if you were the commissioner, what could you do, if anything, to try to change this and make it better and fix it?
Well, you know, Howard, I don't know if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. These guys, you know, all these guys want to play together. The media deserves a lot of responsibility because they start saying, well, you have to win the championship. First of all, we all want to win the championship. So if you can cheat the system and go play with all the other good players and y'all just dominate, so the media, they don't want to take any responsibility, but they always talk about, well, this guy didn't win a championship. This guy won a championship. So the players start listening to that. They're like, oh, so you're just going to judge me by how many championships I win. Okay. Well, so let's all get together and just dominate the league. And that's what happened. And like I say, I don't know at this stage you can put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Who was the rookie of the year this year, Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons?
Well, I thought it should have been Donovan for the fact, because I think it's a huge advantage for Ben. We had this debate. We had it with Blake Griffin a few years ago. I think it's a huge advantage when you redshirt. I think Ben is a hell of a player, but I think the ability to be in around NBA players every day, he probably got bigger and stronger. I'd be curious to see how much stronger he got in a year. But I do. I think as much as I like Ben Simmons, I think it's a huge advantage to red shirt. I think it's a huge advantage.
It seems like Donovan Mitchell carried Utah from January. I think he averaged about, from January on, he averaged about 25 points a game. And he was really, really good.
He did. But also, Howard, people don't, you probably wasn't paying attention. Utah started like 10 and 25. People forget that. At some point early in the year, they were like 10 and 25, right, and they ended up making the playoffs. And that's when Donovan started going crazy. Like I say, that's not a bad thing. I just think it's a really big advantage to be a red shirt.
Doesn't Ben Simmons have to learn how to shoot somewhere?
Yeah, he got to learn how to shoot. He got to work on his game. I mean, but the kid, he's a young kid. He got to definitely learn how to shoot. But he's young enough to be able to do it. I mean, it's just going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort. Go back and look at some of the greatest players ever. Remember when Magic Johnson couldn't shoot? Remember when Michael Jordan could shoot?
Yeah, but at least they had the threat of a shot.
Yeah, but listen, in the old days, Howard, I know, you go back, people wasn't worried about Magic Johnson shooting or Michael shooting, and they made their shoot, obviously, two of the greatest ever. So Ben's got a chance. He's just going to have to work on his game.
Are the Sixers better right now than the way they ended the season, or are they not as good? It didn't seem, they didn't really have a good off season. Are they better?
Well, I actually kind of disagree. I think they got better.
How?
Because I think Wilson Chandler is better than any of those other forwards they had. I do. Because you saw when they played the Celtics, even though they had those guys who could shoot, number one, they couldn't get their own shot, and they had no chance against Tatum and Brown. I think Wilson Chandler is an upgrade. But, however, let's cut through the BS. The only thing that matters with the Sixers is, can Markelle Fultz play? All these other questions are distractions. Like I say, I love the addition of Wilson Chandler. But, listen, the elephant in the room, forget Embiid, forget Simmons. Can Markelle Fultz play? That's the only thing going to dictate how the Sixers do going forward the next few years. That's the bottom line. All that other stuff is just window dressing.
How did a guy come out of college, and Danny Ainge was going to take Tatum regardless of where he had to take him, but, all right, let's say he's no worse than the third pick. How can a guy come out of college and all of a sudden he can't shoot anymore? What the hell happened?
That's one of the strangest things. You know, I've been in the NBA for over 30 years. That was one of the strangest things that I've ever seen in the last 30 years in the NBA. I've never seen a guy who was the number one pick in the draft just get so flustered mentally. And I'm not sure the Sixers did him any favors, number one. But I would listen. I was sitting back watching because I'm not close to the Sixers organization. But that was one of the weirdest things I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it really is amazing. So in the East, as we look at it right now, the Celtics are the best team, correct?
I'm not sure about that yet.
Why not?
Well, because they got so much talent, Howard. It ain't going to be just that easy.
Brad Stevens is a great coach.
He is, but let me tell you something. If you think that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum going to stand around and watch Gordon Hayward and Kyrie shoot it all the time, your head is crazy. You're crazy. Listen, just having a ton of talent. Listen, they got the best team on paper, but you saw how good Jaylen Brown was, right?
Yep.
You saw how good Jason Tatum was, right?
Yep.
Now, Al Horford, he probably can take a little back seat, but I guarantee you, those young kids ain't going to sit around and watch Kyrie and Gordon Hayward just shoot it every time they get it. That's going to be very interesting watching from a distance. Now, do they have the best team on paper? Yes. Wait a minute. They're right there with Toronto. Toronto's really good also. And it depends on how Kawhi Leonard, how much he's invested, which he probably will be because he's probably got to play great to get a max deal from somebody next year. But Toronto, Boston, and Philly, they're the three best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Did you ever think the Sixers actually believed they had a chance at LeBron James? Did you ever in your wildest dreams think they had a chance?
They had no shot at LeBron. LeBron was going to L.A. That was like one of the worst-kept secrets in basketball history. Like I say, I was hoping that he would stay in Cleveland, but just talking to people, he's like, dude's gone. He was going to L.A. the whole time.
All right, do you really dislike Draymond Green?
I do not. I like Draymond Green. He's annoying. I would love, and I made a mistake how I said I want to punch him in the face. because even though I meant it when I said it, I shouldn't have said it. Because you just can't say whatever comes across your mind in that situation because I got to do my job. But he's annoying. Would it be fun to play with? Yes, he would be great to play with. Do I want him on my team? Yes. But when you watch him from a distance, he complains about every single call. He's screaming at the players all the time. He's just annoying, but I think he's a hell of a player.
So is that why you'd want to punch him in the face, because he's annoying?
Yes. The same way as you are, Howard. You're annoying. I would love to punch you in the face.
That's right.
But I don't think I can get away with it.
No, I would actually get rich, which is okay if you ever want to do it.
First of all, and listen, I don't want to hurt your face either.
You want it to just the way it is, right?
Yeah, just the way it is. Just an annoying little face.
Hey, I know you get along with Shaq, but I guess there was a couple of times where it looks like you guys were, it wasn't just playtime, were really arguing. Did you ever get mad at Shaq during the show on TNT? Really mad?
Of course. Because, he's got really thin skin. And, when he loses a basketball argument, he goes right into how many championship rings he's got, which I respect the guy as a person. He's a hell of a player and a good dude. But this notion just because you have a championship ring, that does not make your opinion more important than somebody else's. Like, I like him a lot. But when we have a basketball discussion, you can't say, well, you don't have a ring, so your opinion don't matter. It doesn't work like that. I mean, it's just like there's guys, guys can't say, asking your opinion don't matter because you don't have a championship ring. No, your opinion matters. That's the only time. I like messing with him when he still goes off of one of his tangents about how many rings he got. We know he got rings. We know he was a great player. That doesn't mean he's right when we have a basketball argument.
Well, but you're always right.
No. But what I try to do is always be fair.
Right. Okay.
You know, because the last time we got to arguing, if you remember, you know, I said that Dwayne Casey probably needs to try to smooth the bridge with DeMar DeRozan, because you go back, he bitched that dude for the last quarter when they got eliminated, and I said that's not going to go over well. Mm-hmm. With the best player on your team. It's like, quit babying these guys. And I'm like, nah, dude, you better be cordial or friendly with your best player or you're going to get fired. And that's exactly what happened. Howard, these guys make so much money now. You probably do have to baby them. Because they're not like – it ain't coaching like it was back in the day. Nick Saban, who's the greatest college football coach ever – I was watching him last week when he was doing these media interviews. He was talking about today's players compared to when he first started. And he had a great point. He says, oh, the big difference is back in the day, I tell a player to do something, he just did it. Now they want to know why. Why I got to do it. And he's 100% correct. Like the players have changed because they make so much money. They're not going to do anything they don't want to do.
All right, let's switch to, I know you follow, obviously, because you're here in the summer in Philadelphia, the Eagles. How amazed were you at what they accomplished, and where do you think they go from here?
Well, I think Doug did a fantastic job. I think the quarterback situation is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. Because, you know, they got two quality quarterbacks. You don't know when Carson's coming back. I think they got better on the defensive line. So they still gonna have that dominant defensive line, especially bringing in Bennett. They're gonna be good, man. But I tell you, the quarterback thing to me is gonna be fascinating, because if they start the season 4-0 with Nick Foles on the quarterback, I personally don't think you can bench him. I know it's Carson's team and he's the guy of the future, but if they're 4-0 and Nick is playing great, I think you got to stick with him. That's just my personal opinion. Because the kid just won the Super Bowl, MVP, and if he's rolling, you got to let him roll.
Okay, so then he loses. Okay, so you wait for him to lose. Is that fair? The first time he loses, he's not the quarterback anymore?
Well, I didn't say he had to lose one. I had to say he might have to lose two. But I'm saying, as a coach, your number one obligation is to the team. To the team. And if Nick starts the season 2-0, 3-0, and 4-0, you as a coach, your obligation is to the team, not to a particular player. And listen, the guy just won the Super Bowl, Howard.
I know.
He got MVP, so it's not like he just he's not a normal backup anymore. I mean, he's on a roll right now. I mean, his last few games, you know, I was at the NFC Championship game against Minnesota, and then I saw him in the Super Bowl. I mean, his last two games, he probably never had to buy a drink in Philly ever again.
No, he doesn't. He's his whole life changed with those playoffs, and absolutely with that game. All right, so
yes.
So with all that said, who did you bet? And I know you bet the game because you were in Vegas for the Super Bowl. I know that's where you go every year. Who did you bet in that game?
I bet the Eagles. I told you that. I bet a lot of money on the Eagles.
Okay.
And I told you, I said to you, the Eagles were a lock. I thought they were the better team. And so, yeah, I bet the Eagles big.
All right. I know Belichick's your boy, but isn't it disrespectful to, and you say you got to do what's best for your team. Whatever Malcolm Butler did, he dressed him for the game. Now, I don't know that they would have won the game if he had played. But isn't it disrespectful, number one, why didn't he play? You dressed him. And now you come into camp and, you know, all that nonsense. You know, I'm just focused on training camp. Don't you have to explain it because you hurt your team? And being he's your boy, I still want you to be honest.
But yeah, I'm always be honest, Howard. You know that.
Yep.
I think I personally think he owes an obligation. I think 100%. You're 100% correct. But now that Malcolm's on another team, he don't owe anything. But I think they should not have let him. He should have had to answer that question after the Super Bowl.
So he was wrong not addressing that.
Yes, no question. He owes that to the rest. Because, like I say, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure he addressed it with his team, Howard. To be honest with you, so you have to address either to the press or your team. Now, well, if he did it to the team, that's good enough for me.
Well, nobody that left the team has said anything. He said he never said anything, and I think that's wrong. That's just wrong. I mean, things seem to be falling apart in New England, but that's wrong not to address that. That you hurt your team,
brother. You're preaching to the choir. I agree. He's your. I'm trying to think. He's their best defensive player. If him not get a snap, especially when Foles is just going up and down the field on the guys, I mean, you have to say to yourself, man, he could have made a difference in the game. But, hey, listen, Bill has earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants to do. When you win 5 Super Bowls and go to 3 other ones, you pretty much can do what you want to, Howard.
Well, he won 3 of them because Pete Carroll lost 1. And Kyle Shanahan lost another one.
Listen, everybody, even when you win a Super Bowl, you get a break. I mean, think about it. The one, the Giants won, this dude holds a ball against his head on one of his, probably the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. The guy didn't even catch it with his hands. He had it against his helmet. So you get breaks when you win, man. I mean, that's just part of it.
I still contend if Belichick doesn't have Brady, he doesn't win any championships.
Well, you contend if Brady didn't have Belichick, he wouldn't have any either.
Maybe. Do you?
I mean, listen, dude, no coaches, there ain't no good coaches without good players. Let's get that out the way. But let me tell you something. What Belichick, Greg Popovich, Nick Saban, what they've done – it's just remarkable. Howard, it's hard to win that many years in a row. Gino Auriemma's in that conversation, too. To be able to win consistently every single year, man, that's some serious coaching. I mean, that's some serious coaching. It's probably easier for having Tom Brady helps. But what Belichick, Auriemma, Nick Saban, and Popovich, what they've done for like 10 to 15 years is crazy.
You go back
and look at the great Celtics teams, go back at the great Laker teams, they weren't even good for that long. I mean, I think Bird and the Celtics won 3 championships. I think Magic won 5, correct?
Yep.
Man, these guys have been championship or bust for 15 straight years. That's crazy.
All right.
And that's with free agency and everything, Howard. That's remarkable.
Do you accept that Tom Brady can be a prima donna now?
I think when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, because like I said, it's clearly he saw Jimmy G coming for him. And Howard, that's like this thing, you know, when I said about LeBron. LeBron probably can play great for another year or two, but at some point, Father Time don't get everybody. And I'm pretty sure Tom Brady, he can talk about all that TV stuff he want to. One of these days, he's going to wake up and he ain't going to be able to play. That's the way it works when you play sports. You can eat as healthy as you want to. You can work out as much as you want to. At some point, Father Time is going to knock on your door and say, hey, I'm here. Let's go.
Do you think there is any connection between Julian Edelman, Tom Brady's trainer, and the PEDs?
Well, listen, I don't know that situation because, I just see what I see from a distance. I saw Tom did not like that question.
Nope.
But let me tell you something. Tom hasn't tested positive.
Well, either did Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, but listen, that Major League Baseball was a joke. They were letting everybody use the drug. That's why I think they should let Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa in the Hall of Fame. They were making money because everybody was using it. But, you know, Howard, I will say this about Edelman. I think when a guy's hurt, I think it's tough. Because when you hurt and going to miss an entire season, I can understand how guys doing stuff to come back. And I can understand that.
All right. Let's get to you touched on the NFL rules before. Are they taking away what football is by changing all these rules?
100%. And, you know, and they got guys running around out there. First of all, let's get one thing straight. There's a couple things I would change about football. It's just my opinion. I don't see any reason why kids should play tackle football before high school. This is just my personal opinion. There's no reason for little kids to be playing tackle football whatsoever. I don't care what anybody says. There's no reason for young kids to be playing tackle football. But also, when you got a bunch of guys running full speed trying to hit a certain spot, that's almost impossible. Because some of these guys are faster, some of them are slower, and you got guys running full speed trying to catch a guy. He ain't going to be worried about where he hit him at. His job is to get him on the ground. But, you know, that's kind of the problem with the NBA, Howard. They made it so soft now. It's affected the integrity of the game.
All right, so
I mean, every little foul is called in the NBA now, and I think it's going to be very difficult nowadays talking about ejecting guys.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about messing with the integrity of the game. Can you imagine if I bet a fortune on the Eagles in a Super Bowl.
What's a fortune?
A couple bills.
Okay. Like, is that like six-figure bills?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you this, Howard. Can you imagine how pissed I'd be if they had to kick Malcolm Butler out the game?
Oh, yeah. You mean Malcolm Jenkins?
Malcolm Jenkins. Sorry, my bad.
Okay.
Can you imagine if they had – I bet all that money on the Eagles. Can you imagine if they had to kick him out the game for that tackle on Cooks?
The officials met with the media recently. They met with the players and the media, and they're doing it in every city. That play likely would have been called a penalty. Now, it was a Super Bowl, so he wouldn't have been ejected. And that was absolutely a football. That's a football play.
I know that it's a football play. I'm saying under the new rules, he might get ejected.
Yep.
Can you imagine how pissed I would be if I bet a small fortune on the Eagles and one of their best defensive players get ejected in that situation? So now you're really talking about messing with the integrity of the game, messing with the integrity of gambling. Now, because think about it now, everything is going to be magnified with this gambling thing.
Yep, and there's a lot of it going on. Charles, did you bet the money line or the points or both?
I bet the points. They were getting four. I thought the line would drop. So I bet like the week before. But I was very confident the Eagles were going. I thought they would win the game, but it wasn't enough to mess with the money line, Howard. So I took the Eagles plus four.
Okay, so now, all right, let's think about what they're doing. And I know you played basketball, not football. If you lower your head and in any way use your helmet to make a tackle, that's at least a penalty. If a running back lowers his head and uses the helmet to try to not use it, but it tends to be used, I believe the way it is, it's a penalty. How can you play football like that?
You can't. That's what they're so worried about, all the money they got to pay these ex-players. You know, I would argue that football is safe as it ever been, Howard. But they are so worried about – these owners are so worried about the money they're going to pay these guys for CTE and things like that in the long run. They're betting on the fans are just like, we're going to come to the game no matter what. You got to remember something. These are the same guys who put scabs out there, Howard. and people still came. So the owners, they're just looking at, they got all this TV money coming in, and they're not overly concerned about anything else. They're going to let us as fans sit around and argue about what's a clean hit and what's not a clean hit.
All right, the national anthem. I mean, this has gotten, like, out of control. Where do you stand with the way the rule is now? If you don't want to stand, you stay in the locker room. And I don't know what's wrong with that. If you don't want to stand, then stay in the locker room. Where do you stand on it?
Well, number one, I would stand for the anthem out of respect. But if guys want to protest, I think they have that right. But I think the problem we got now is, man, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the national anthem. I think we forgot what we were talking about. I want to make it clear. I would stand for the anthem. In fairness, most of the brothers were standing for the anthem until President Trump stuck his nose in it and called them SOBs. You know, there was probably less than 100 players. I think it was actually less than 50 that was doing anything, any type of protest until Trump came on and tried to make it all about himself. So, like I say, I wish guys would stand for the anthem. I wish we would keep talking about social injustices and things like that, police brutality. But I would stand for the anthem personally, and I'm so sick and tired of talking about the anthem. We don't even talk about the issues anymore. That's the thing that's driving me crazy. I mean, all we ever hear is about is the anthem controversy, and anybody who says anything, you have to be leery of them, Howard. What's their agenda? Because, you know, President Trump just trying to play to his base. So you can't take him that serious.
Yeah, when you don't stand, it changes the narrative and it doesn't address the issue, because now the story becomes not standing. And I think you're right in that regard.
And I think it's like you said earlier, listen, if we do have a fair compromise, if you don't want to stand for the anthem, stay in the locker room. Or if they want to, play the anthem before the teams come on the field.
Which is the way they did it before 2009, which is what they
should. Well, I mean, listen, because we're taking away from the subject. We're alienating the fans. I mean, at some point, and then, first of all, the brothers got to have an end game. See, they took that $90 million from those owners. So you can't take my $90 million and still protest. I mean, that's a lot of money. Yeah. And we probably could do some really good stuff with it. But you can't take those guys' money and still protest. I understand that from an owner standpoint. Like, if we didn't give you a dime, I understand. But you guys took $90 million, and so you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
All right, and I agree with that. Charles, and I know you watch all sports, and I want to touch on this because the analytics has changed the game of baseball. Can you watch a baseball game anymore with all they are is strikeouts, walks, and home runs? Is it hard for you to watch a baseball game anymore?
It's frustrating because the game has come down to now, can I get my pitcher 5 or 6 innings?
Yeah.
That's more frustrating than home runs and strikeouts. Like now, you know, I love watching Max Scherzer pitch, Verlander. I love watching those guys who are just total bulldogs. I do. That's just like I want to see a guy pitch more than 5 or 6 innings. But now when you watch baseball, you're like, oh, you can count the times on one hand a guy's going to pitch. I would love for you to tell me in the last 5 years how many complete games there's been.
Well, that's gone. I mean, for the most part, that's gone. I don't even know how many there's been this year. Only if a guy's pitching a no-hitter It seems like that they leave and the pitchers stay in the game. It's because everybody carries eight relief pitchers. It's a joke. It's a joke. You just run, and that's why the game's so long. You're changing pitchers all the time. The game of baseball seems almost unwatchable at times because of, I'll give you a statistic, and Tom Verducci had this, and it was right before the All-Star game. He took all the games, how long it took to put a ball in play, not a foul ball, but whether it's a ground out, a fly ball, in play. It wasn't a strikeout or it wasn't a walk. In play, the average time, 3 minutes and 45 seconds between putting balls in play. That's unconscionable.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that is ridiculous. But you know, Howard, it goes back to, you said something earlier, man. You know, sports are all copycats. And now the big word is analytics. And instead of just getting baseball people to get baseball players and just use good strategy and listen, if your pitcher is struggling after five or six innings, that's fine. But if the guy's fine, let him go. You know, I got these clowns in the NBA are telling me, well, the analytics prove is, you know, Adam Silver I like a lot. He's just, well, we don't want these guys playing two nights in a row. Let's move the season up. I'm like, wait a minute. These guys are making $40 million a year. They can't play basketball 2 days in a row. They fly private. They got the best shoes in the world. And instead I said, dude, you're making $30 to $40 million. Play basketball 2 days in a row and shut the hell up. I got guys on TV saying, well, the analytics show if these guys don't play back-to-back. I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, I played back-to-back. I'm pretty sure Dr. J and Moses and Wilt and Kareem and Bill Russell and Magic Bird, and I'm pretty sure they flew commercial because I know my first 2 to 3 years in the NBA, we flew commercial. I'm pretty sure for $300,000 we can play two basketball games in 2 days. I'm damn sure we can play it for $30 to $40 million a year. I play every day for that type of money.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. All right, I don't know how much you've listened to the Phillies manager, Gabe Kapler, but once in a while, isn't it okay for a manager to criticize his team instead of saying everything is positive? Can't players accept that?
No, not this generation. This generation of players, I'm not going to talk about baseball players, but I'm telling you something, Howard. Every single time I say something about a player, either the player or his agent calls me and want me to explain. No, and it's probably the same in all sports. But let me tell you something. The NBA players, man, they're softer than ice cream. I mean, it doesn't even matter if the criticism is fair. We have raised a generation of players, and I call it the AAU generation because I hate AAU. Everybody's kissing their ass, Howard. They got all these handlers around them. They go to college for 1 year. The coach is afraid of him. He's like, well, he's coming here. I'm only got him for a year. I just want to make him happy. Man, it's ridiculous, Howard. These players today, like I say, I don't know enough about baseball. But let me tell you, the NBA, every time you criticize a guy, you're going to get a call from him or his agent. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, Charles, in basketball, obviously, you're great at what you do with the TNT stuff. It's fun.
Thank you.
It's fun to watch. I laugh. I mean, there's no other show that does a pre- and post-game show in basketball that's as good as you guys work so well together. You're funny. You give information. But is there any urge for you to get back into the game? You don't want to be a coach. You've got to coach these babies. But is there any urge for you to get into a front office?
Well, Howard, I actually thought I had the job last year with an NBA team. I wanted the job, president of basketball operations. I thought I had the job, to be honest with you. Because, like I say, I've been doing the NBA for 18 years. And I was thinking, like, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So I want to try this thing, be the president of basketball operations. And I actually thought I had a job last year. And at the last minute, it didn't work out. because they wouldn't give me complete control. I said, first of all, I'm not going to work for anybody else. That's because they're going to blame me if it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not going to say, well, this team sucks because Charles Barkley running it. And they're like, well, we want to help. Because they said to me, we want to pick your general manager. I said, well, that's not going to happen. They said, well, we worried about your lack of experience. I said, well, I got enough experience to hire somebody who got experience. I'm not going to hire my uncle. And so we decided to go separate ways. But I was at the age where I was like, yeah, let me try this. And it just didn't work out.
All right, which team was it?
The Orlando Magic.
And would you, now that that didn't work out, would you try to do it again? I mean, try to get that position again. Not with that team, with any team.
It would have to be the right situation. I would have to have complete control. Like I say, Howard, you know they're going to blame me if it doesn't work. I'm not going to have a position where I'm kind of just like the figurehead. And if it doesn't work, I get crushed by the media. You know, so would I consider it again? Yes, I would consider it again.
All right. Well, I mean, they're probably somewhere along the way, there probably is going to be an opportunity. But, well, I mean, you don't know, but you still got a lot of years left to work. I know you don't like to work, but there's still a lot of years.
Well, like right now, I'm trying to work till I'm 60. 60 is my magic number. I'm not working past 60.
And you got, what do you have, 6 years, 7 years left? How old are you?
Well, my contract, yes, but I'm going to try to make it till I'm 60. I'm 55 now.
Oh, 55.
But I don't feel the need to work to the day I die. I really don't. I've been so lucky and blessed. You know, I played for 16 years. I've been on TV for 18 years. But I don't feel the need to work to the day I die. I really don't.
Well, we'll see. All right. The Golden State Warriors get to the finals in the West. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Who gets there in the East?
Like I say, Howard, it's three teams. We got to see how the Celtics' talent is going to work. People just assume they're getting all this talent is going to work. I don't know, man. It's going to be a lot of stuff going on in that locker room. You got to see if Kawhi is interested in playing in Toronto. Because if he is, they're going to be pretty damn good, Howard. They're going to be pretty good. But if he's just like trying to get through the year and get to L.A. And then the Sixers, how much has Embiid and Simmons improved? But like I say, the only question to me with the Sixers is Markelle Fultz. If he can play well, the Sixers got just as good a team as anybody in the Eastern Conference.
It's a big if.
But I think all three. But I told you, all three of those teams I mentioned got big ifs. Like people, like I say, I told people going into the draft 2 years ago. They said, "Who's the best three players you saw when you were in college?" I said, Josh Jackson from Kansas, Jason Tatum, Dennis Smith, and Donovan Mitchell. Those were the best four players that I saw when I was studying teams for March Madness. And I talked to general managers all the time. I told them this year, I said, that Aiden kid is the best player by far. The second best player was that kid, Mo Bamba. I like Mo Bamba a lot. And then I said, Wendell Carter and Jackson were the next three and four on my list, and Bagley. So because I studied all those guys extensively for March Madness, and I talked to a bunch of general managers, and I give my honest opinion.
Charles, can college basketball be as good if they eliminate the one and done and guys just come right out of high school?
You know, Howard, I hate that because I think it undermines the NBA. Because the way the draft is designed is for bad teams to get some help. Drafting 18-year-old kids, you're not getting help. You might get a guy who might be good in 4 or 5 years. But so I'm telling my fans, because in the old days, you got a Hakeem Olajuwon who had been in college, a Michael Jordan, a Charles Barkley, a Karl Malone, guys who could come in and help you immediately. And like I say, now, wait, I'm paying outrageous ticket prices for an 18-year-old kid who might be good, who might not be good. I don't think that's fair to the NBA, to be honest with you.
No. It's just, but it certainly, it's not fair to the NBA, and it's certainly not good, I don't think, for college basketball.
It's not good for college. I wish they would do, you know, and everybody is just, I would love to see these kids stay in college for 2 years. And then it would help both sports. But you know what? The agents are greedy scumbags. They're just trying to get their kid paid as fast as possible. They don't care about the integrity of the game. They just want their kid to get one of those fat contracts.
Yep. A genius. It's always a pleasure. Some of that money you won on the Eagles Super Bowl, hopefully you'll donate to my Eagles Autism Challenge again this year.
Hey, listen. I'm going to do that thing for you, right?
Do you want to do that? We'll talk about it. I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, yeah, I definitely want to do that.
Okay. All right, cool. Thanks,
all right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Talk to you
okay.
later. All right, bye. Couple of things that I may agree with and may not agree with. Interesting, he only thinks LeBron's got one or two more good years. I don't agree that the Sixers are a better team right now, but as he points out, Markelle Fultz is really a key to the whole thing. Donovan Mitchell, I agree with him, was the rookie of the year in the NBA. And it's interesting, it's somewhere along the line that Charles may be in a front office. Not getting a job last year didn't hurt. But baseball, I've talked about it many times. I don't have to go through it again. It's just, it's not good for the game, for any game, the way they start changing rules and analytics. But he expressed the same thing that I did. So, hope you enjoyed Charles Barkley. We'll have more coming up. And thanks for joining us on the Howard Eskin Podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.